Hi everyone, Benjamin here. Welcome to Microbe Talk, the podcast from the Microbiology Society. Now listeners, I think we can all agree that space and space science are pretty awesome.
I'm Kate Rubens, and I am currently training to be a flight engineer on board the International Space Station for Expedition 4849.
For this edition of the podcast, I had the pleasure of speaking to the NASA astronaut, Dr. Kate Rubens, who very shortly will be blasting off to the International Space Station. I spoke to Kate on the phone a few weeks ago as she was in the final stages of preparation for her expedition. Kate, your mission is only a few weeks away. How are you feeling?
It's incredibly exciting. Yeah, it's something that our whole crew has been training for a long time. So it's very exciting for us that it's right around the corner. I'm really looking forward to the launch. I think that'll be an amazing experience. But I'm really looking forward to getting on board station and starting to be able to do some experiments up there.
Maybe you could tell us how this all came about.
Yeah, so I applied. They post an announcement for astronaut applicants about every 4 years or so. And I applied and interviewed. There are two different week-long interviews down at NASA. And then you wait quite a long time. Yes, you wait and you wait and you wait. And then eventually they call everybody that's been in the final round of interviews on one day and give you the news. So it was a little bit of a phone call right out of the blue.
And can you remember where you were standing when the call came?
I was in my office at the Whitehead Institute at MIT.
Were you expecting it?
I was not expecting it. No, I mean, you know, you go through the interview process and you think, wow, there's all these incredibly smart people. NASA's got a lot of options and I'm not thinking I'm a very good one. So it was pretty surprising, I think.
Well, as a virologist, what was it that made you want to switch careers? I mean, was there a moment when you decided, well, I don't know, PCR is great, but I think I'm going to go to space?
Yeah, it actually, I wasn't planning on having a career change. I had a laboratory at MIT at Whitehead and loved that. That's what I was going to do for the rest of my life. When I was a small child, I'd wanted to be an astronaut. And one of my collaborators had said, you know, I noticed there was this astronaut application online. Did you ever think about applying? And that's how it all kind of evolved. But it wasn't something that I really planned on going into. I was very happy as a scientist in the lab. So it's an amazing job to get the chance to be able to do. And, you know, there is still a lot of this job that requires you to be a scientist.
Well, what will you be doing then, Kate, when you're up on the International Space Station?
Yeah, so it's a huge research complement. It's over 100 different experiments. So it's which is amazing. Yeah, it's incredibly exciting. So, you know, some of the ones that that I've been, you know, training on or really looking at because they're kind of relevant to my background are sequencing. So, you know, the way we do sequencing on Earth often involves large things that maybe would barely fit in the trunk of your car and are really not suitable for space travel, but the whole sequencing, the way we do sequencing is kind of moving forward into this miniaturized point of care, personalized medicine. And so some of the sequencing technology has evolved to be machines that are about the size of your cell phone. That's perfect for any time that you want to do space flight or exploration, even when you want to do remote medicine or these types of surveillance studies that we were talking about in Africa. You can't bring a giant machine that's the size of your dining room table with you. So we're going to try to utilize one of those small technology portable machines to do sequencing in space for the first time. There's quite a few different microbiology experiments. There's one looking at fungi and production of pharmaceutical compounds. There's a cell culture experiment actually to look at human heart cells and how heart cells, in the lack of gravity, the cells no longer settle to the bottom of a plastic dish, and they float suspended. And so they're looking at the heart cell sheet and the structure of these cells.
So in addition to microbiology-related experiments, it sounds like you're doing a lot that aren't microbiology as well. Have you had to learn a lot of new skills?
Yeah, I call it really moving away from microbiology when we start talking about physics and dark matter experiments and alpha magnetic spectrometers. And we're doing those too. We're doing fluidics experiments. We're doing combustion experiments. The eukaryotic biology, I've always done some part of that. We were looking at viral genomics, but we were also looking at the interaction with the human immune system. And so I have done always cell culture and looking at eukaryotic biology as well. But there's definitely an aspect when you are the person that's performing all these experiments for the different investigators. For example, I have to go learn a little bit about fluid dynamics or how hydrocarbons interact with each other in a mix that's more than two different kinds of hydrocarbons, or how bacteria eat rocks inside space, or how we're searching for dark matter. So to me, that's incredibly fun. It's all these areas that I haven't necessarily been involved academically, but you know, we get to learn it in order to carry out these experiments on station.
So you're quite the polymath now then. I mean, my goodness. I mean, did you ever imagine you'd have to learn such a breadth of science back when you were in graduate school?
Yeah, you get very broad and not so deep, but it's just incredibly exciting if you enjoy learning.
Kate, maybe you can tell us a little bit about your astronaut training.
Yeah, so it's kind of like the academic subjects. It's a little bit of everything. So we learn how to fly T-38s. That's it's a supersonic fighter jet trainer. That's incredibly important. For example, when we're in a high pressure situation, we need to quickly react to an emergency. Any kind of dynamic situation like a spacewalk or rocket launch requires a lot of this kind of operational training, and aviation and being in a jet that's moving 500 miles an hour is a really excellent way to exercise those kinds of skills. So we flight training. We do a lot of survival training, water survival, winter survival, and then we do that training also in Russia as well. We do a lot of training in the spacesuit in order to be able to perform spacewalks. We have experiments outside of the space station that sometimes we need to retrieve, and then we also have installation of new hardware. For example, we're hoping on our increment to install some new lithium ion batteries on the station, as well as a docking adapter that's going to allow new commercial crew vehicles to dock to the station. And we do a lot of robotics training. We operate the robotic arm in order to capture these vehicles, in order to do station maintenance and do EVAs. They're using the robotic arm right now actually to break torque on all of the batteries that are on station, so that can enable us to replace them more quickly with the lithium ion batteries. So we have Russian class a few times a week. So it feels to me a little bit like being back at the university. There's a lot of class on a lot of different subjects. And it's maybe an appreciation for some things that I did not ever think I would be doing in my lifetime. It's just been enjoyable, the whole thing.
I guess you never imagined you'd be doing it upside down and at 500 miles an hour either.
Yes.
Well, thinking about your scientific career then, you've researched what I guess we call emerging viruses.
Yeah, I started out in HIV. And then when I went to grad school, I got very interested in pox viruses. So that's like monkeypox or smallpox. And then also filoviruses, which is Ebola or Marburg. And studied those both in grad school and then when I started my research lab. So the filoviruses are called emerging viruses often. We actually have a lot of research that suggests that some of them have been around longer than we thought, that we're just now kind of discovering them with molecular biology methods, but that maybe they've been interacting with humans and potentially even putting selection pressure on our DNA, on our genomes.
So presumably that's some sort of immune system related thing.
Yeah, it's immune system, and it's essentially that we're coexisting in an ecological niche with these viruses. And so the viruses change their sequence. They mutate. Bacteria do this as well. But there's also some of that pressure going in the other direction the longer that you're exposed to a particular virus or a microorganism.
Obviously, then, we've had the outbreaks of Ebola and Zika very recently. What do you think the next step is, then, in better understanding these emerging viruses?
Well, I think we need to understand what kind of, which of the bad kinds of pathogens are out there. And some of the ways that we can do that is looking at, people with febrile illness, for example, in Africa, and trying to understand, are there viruses? Is there some kind of species diversity that we haven't seen yet, that we haven't encountered? What's the net, Zika virus has taken everybody a little bit by surprise, and maybe if we can do some more surveillance-based efforts, we can understand what the next big one is going to be and try to stop it before it spreads to too many people. On the other side of things, I think we also want to know more about this microbial world that we inhabit. I mean, if you just look at a numbers-wise, humans are absolutely in the minority. So, we live with microbes all around us on everything we touch and eat and drink, and they're inside of us. They've colonized, our respiratory tracts, our digestive tracts. And I'm pretty interested in how all of that works during spaceflight, because you have this closed loop system. So we have a wonderful process up there where we have the ability to recycle our water, and we cycle our air, and we, for example, we can generate oxygen from water by splitting, the H2O. There's a closed loop system, and in order to really understand that, we want to understand a lot about microbial diversity and how microbes behave off of the planet when they're all of a sudden on this little spaceship that's now orbiting the Earth and has been up there for a number of years with the same water and the same air in the system.
You're right, though. I guess when people think about microbes, they often focus on the bad ones. Has your new role given you the opportunity to talk about the positive aspects of microbiology?
Yeah, and I think it's a balance of, we want to understand human health and disease, and sometimes, microbes can really negatively affect human disease. So we want to understand that and then be able to develop a drug to treat that, or a vaccine, or, some way that we can prevent the disease or treat the disease. But there's also part of just understanding what the microbial world is, so that we understand how that functions in a healthy and balanced system. And part of it is sort of curiosity. I kind of liken it to the time when we first had microscopes. So all of a sudden we could see the microbial world. Well, we now have genomic technologies that allow us to essentially see the DNA of everything that's around us without passing it through a culture-based system. And we're just starting to look through the modern molecular microscope at everything that's around us.
Well, Kate, here's a stupid question that I am dying to know the answer to. Does a pipette work upside down in space?
Does it what work upside down? Oh, a pipette, yeah. That's a phenomenal question, and I will get you an answer sometime after June 24th, because we're flying them in order to answer that exact question.
Really, no way. Oh, Kate, you're doing something that only a handful of people have ever done. What are you most looking forward to?
I think the first time that the Soyuz is a very small spacecraft and will be orbiting the Earth in the Soyuz for 2 days. And then you dock to the space station. And I think the first time you open the hatch and get a chance to see see your crewmates. So I'm flying with two crewmates, a Japanese crew member and a Russian crew member, but there will be two Russians and an American on board, and we've trained together, but they've been in space for the last few months. So I think it's going to be wonderful to open the hatch and see them, and then be able to fly over and to the window and get your first glimpse of the planet from the space station, I think is probably the thing that I'm looking the most forward to. It's a lot of folks have said it's pretty indescribable, and they communicate the fact that that's just one of the biggest moments that you'll have on board, is the first time you see the Earth from the space station.
Finally, then, where can people follow your progress?
Yeah, so if you go to NASA.gov, there will be a page for it's Expedition 48 and 49. And then I'm going to be trying to post to Twitter under the NASA Astronauts account.
There we go, team. That was Dr. Kate Rubens there. We wish her all the best for her expedition. As always, you can find out more about the Microbiology Society on our website, microbiologysociety.org. You can check out our blog. If you search for The Microbe Post, you can see what we've been up to. And you can follow us on Twitter. We're at microbiosoc. If you've enjoyed the show, please leave us some stars or a review on iTunes. It will really help us get some great microbiology stories out to even more people. Special thanks for this episode go to Brandy Dean at NASA's Johnson Space Center for helping to set this all up. Our show is edited and produced by Anand Jagatia. I've been Dr. Benjamin Thompson. See you all next time.